right. This is the Freedom Themes Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And we would like to welcome a new station to our federal family, to our Freedom family. WVFT Freedom 93.3 in Tallahassee. That kind of rhymes. WVFT Freedom 93 in Tallahassee, Florida. We would like to welcome you to the Freedom Fiends experience. And we have a great guest today filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati, who is out on paternity leave, spending a little time with his new daughter, Lily June Vedati, who made her radio debut yesterday, squeaking and squealing on the show. That was pretty cool. I like that. And I hope that I hope someday she will replace me when I'm too old and infirm and just babbling, which I'm not really there yet. But I'm there. It depends how tired I am. So this is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And if you're listening in Wyoming, and even if you're not, I think you should go to freedomfiends.com. That's Freedom Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra.com and check out yesterday's episode, which is entitled Failed States and the Monopoly of Violence, because at the beginning of it, we had a really useful conversation about some gun grabbing that's going on in Wyoming from Kanine Schlager, the former mayor who's now trying to get on to the city council. And if you're not in Wyoming, you should go check that out anyway. And you should go to WyomingGunOwners.org and read about this, because this is probably going on in your city too. These people are partnering with something called the National League of Cities, which you should go to their website, NLC.org, and see if they're partnering with your city fathers and mothers, the people who run your lives and can take your property away if they want to. The NLC.org is kind of like a George Soros-funded UN for local governments who help them be gun grabbers and help them raise taxes. So this is not an ad for NLC.org. It's an anti-ad for NLC.org. Go to the National League of Cities, NLC.org, and see if you're city fathers and mothers are secretly partnering in back rooms with this organization. They have a list on there of the mayors and city councils that they quote unquote work with for quote unquote progress and quote unquote progressive things. That's NLC.org. And you should also check out WyomingGunOwners.org, which is a great grassroots gun organization that if you're in Wyoming, you just really should be a member of it. And if you're not in Wyoming, you should keep an eye on them and maybe send them a little bit of money anyway, because they're great people. And what happens in Wyoming, it's kind of used as a test case for the rest of the country, because it's one of the most like line in the sand gun friendly places in the country. And they figure whatever they can put in through the back door here and get away with, they can definitely get away with in your state. So that's WyomingGunOwners.org. So today we have a great guest. It's Randy England, who is a former bad guy. He used to be a state prosecutor. He used to be the guy who, you know, when they say it's the people versus you, and it's not really the people, it's a bunch of bureaucrats versus you, he used to represent them. And he has found the truth and found the way, and he is now just a private practicing attorney defending people against the tyranny of the state. And he's a libertarian, and he's a Catholic, and he's written a book called Free is Beautiful: Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. How you doing there, Randy England?
I'm really glad to be here. Thanks, Michael.
Why should Catholics be libertarian?
Why should Catholics be libertarian? It's because Christianity is libertarian, and we seem to get away from that because we're also so much in tune to being, doing whatever the state wants in that. But, you know, one of the things in Christianity, the thing that is important is that people have free will. If you have free will, then you can be made into a good person. When God made us, he could have made robots, but he decided that he didn't want to. And so free will, which is very, very important in Christianity, is certainly part of the essence of libertarianism. And I've take both my libertarianism and my religion seriously. And if you're going to take two things seriously, they need to not conflict with one another. So I had to look into this as I became more and more libertarian, I guess you would say. It was a process that ran me many, many years, probably all of my adult life, maybe going back to when I was a kid, until I finally, you know, the scales fall from your eyes. I think the very last thing that made me come over was at the end of my time as a prosecuting attorney. And the last libertarian issue that it came to me was the issue of drugs and the drug war and how that was pretty useless. And interestingly, I mean, the thing I think that made me let go in the end was the fact that seeing that from the inside showed me that it didn't work. It wasn't working, and that made it easier to accept the fact that maybe this was a medical problem, a health problem, a social problem, but not a criminal problem.
So you think, I mean, obviously there should be laws against murder and theft and fraud. You agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
But other things that the Bible advises against, you don't think there should necessarily be laws against them? You should, because you're saying that if you make people do things by law that don't have a victim, you're not really exercising your free will, and you're not showing in your faith that you are a good Christian because you're being forced to do it rather than doing it voluntarily. Is that it?
Well, yeah. If you drive safely when you have a cop behind you, that doesn't mean you're a safe driver. And if you behave good when someone is standing over you, that doesn't mean you're a good person. If you wanted to make good people virtuous people, you wouldn't be standing there with a gun to their head all day. They would, if they did behave well, you couldn't even attribute it to them being good.
Yeah, I remember a little parable that I heard. I think it was in Reader's Digest, of all places, when I was a kid. It was some guy was a contractor, was a young contractor, was trying to get a raise, and his boss was looking for someone to promote. So all of a sudden, he started working really hard for about a week, and then his boss did not give him the raise and did not give him the promotion, and he asked him why, and he said, well, if you hold your hand over the thermostat, it looks like it goes hotter, but it doesn't really heat up the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you, you're a big advocate of removing licensure for a lot of things. Tell me about that.
Well, occupational licensing is, that is just it's a racket that's been going on before I I acknowledge the fact that my own profession is probably, one of the worst offenders, because practicing law, I mean, if you try to do that and you're not an attorney, you go to jail. I mean, it's a crime. There was a, just one moment, I've got it here.
Yeah. Haircutting, too. You had a,
well, that haircutting is another one, and probably even less reason why a person would need to have a license to cut hair. There's a story from it's probably from 60 years ago, that went like this, and it laid out the issues. Not long ago, the governor of a Midwestern state was approached by representatives of a particular trade, anxious to enlist the governor's support in securing passage of legislations to license their trade. Governor, the men said, passage of this licensing act will ensure that only qualified people will practice this occupation. It will eliminate charlatans, incompetents, or frauds, and it will thereby protect the safety and welfare of the people of this state. The governor, from long experience, was somewhat skeptical. Gentlemen, he asked, are you concerned with advancing the health, safety, and welfare of the people under the police powers of the state? Or are you primarily interested in creating a monopoly situation to eliminate competition and raise prices? Now, here's the part I don't really believe in this story. The spokesman for the occupational group smiled and said, Governor, we're interested in a little of each. And that was from a government document on occupational licensing from 1952. And the trouble with occupational licensing, you know, first of all, if you go back to around the time that that story was written, only 4.5% of all occupations actually required a license from the government for you to practice them. And yet now it's 30%. And 30% of every job cannot be practiced without government permission and you get a license. And there's really no justification for it.
What would prevent, if there weren't licensure for things like doctors or lawyers, I want to play devil's advocate for a minute here. What would keep people from being horribly harmed by unlicensed doctors or lawyers?
Well, there's a couple of things that would happen. First of all, I'm sure that you would have private certifications so that if a person, was qualified to do this and that, they could go through a certain course of experience or practice or study, and the certifying organization, which would be voluntary, would give you that certification. You could put that on your wall along with your diploma or whatever else certificates you have up there. And if that certification is respected by the public, then perhaps that'll help your business. And if it's not worth much, you know, it may not help you. And if it doesn't help you, you probably won't even bother getting it. So there are ways to get the same thing, certifications, to show that you're qualified to do this or that sort of thing. That's not a problem. I mean, and it expands. It's not only this sort of thing would be done in occupations. It would also have to do with regulatory agencies like, say, the FDA.
Well, wouldn't children be poisoned then if there wasn't something like the FDA?
Well, no. If you had an outfit like, say, the Underwriters Laboratories, I think everybody's heard of them.
Which is private. A lot of people think that's government, but it's not. It's private. And actually, the FDA has approved a lot of drugs that they've later recalled because they were killing people.
Well, not only that, but they've disapproved a lot of drugs that would have saved a lot of lives because they're always going to tend to be a little too restrictive.
And we'll have more with Randy England about libertarianism, Catholicism, and free will when we come back from this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Libertarian Free-for-All. Yep, So today we are talking to Randy England, former prosecutor, current good guy lawyer in Missouri. You can go to his website at randyengland.com. That's his law blog. Or you can go to freeisbeautiful.net. That's his book blog where his you can get his book, Free is Beautiful, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. So, Randy, tell me about we both had experiences with illegal haircutting as children. There was a lady in the neighborhood my mother took us to who she wasn't licensed. She just cut people's hair for a good price. And you had a similar experience, I found out. So go ahead and tell me about that and why that shouldn't be a problem and why it's more harmful than protective that that does require licensure in most places now.
Yeah, there was a middle-aged lady in our town, and she was practically, you know, the Al Capone of bootleg haircuts. And I grew up in Alton, Illinois, and she didn't have a license. And the thing that we liked about this lady so much is that she was fast. She cut hair so fast. You know how when you're a kid, you always want it to be over. I mean, it's worse than a trip in the car. You know, is it over yet? And she was so fast. We all love that. And of course, our mothers, I mean, loved it because she was cheap. I think it was, a third of the price of whatever a barber would have charged. And I don't think it was more than 50 cents. And her haircuts were fine. We never had any trouble with that. And she could knock out a quick one, you know, in 5 minutes. And so one Saturday every month, you know, the mothers in the neighborhood would just pack up all their sons and we'd drive over to this lady's house. And my mother always told us, you know, each one of us boys, you know, remember never to tell anybody that she cut your hair. And we were told that she could get into trouble.
Yeah.
We never told, but every Saturday, this lady, she'd cut 10 heads an hour all day long, you know, at 50 cents a head. And this is, you know, great money for her, and there's no overhead. And this tells you how long ago this was, but there was no dad in my neighborhood at the time that was earning $5 an hour. Wow. In 1964 when this was happening. I mean, she was making twice as much money as, a typical, a guy working at a full-time job at the time. And yet it was a crime. It still today, it carries a jail sentence. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are like that. But this lady, she was a criminal. We were her accomplices. and I can speak of it because the statute of limitations has run out.
There's a lot of things like that that used to be more commonly with just neighbors helping neighbors. Child care is another one. And, there used to be the lady in the neighborhood that would watch everyone's kids for a little bit of money while people were working or where they had to go to a doctor's appointment or whatever. And now they actually like go in and raid places like that, like with guns, like as if they're raiding, you know, violent kidnappers or something. And these are not kidnappers. These are voluntary associations between neighbors. They're even doing it to like little girls selling lemonade. I've heard of lemonade stands getting raided. Have you had anything like that in your state?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that we have. And I mean, there's this whole occupational licensing is only part of this grand scheme that really keeps, and honestly keeps the poor, you know, more than anybody else, but it affects all of us. It keeps them down. You know, as a Catholic, I mean, my church has a really strong tradition of helping the poor and very strong responsibility for the poor. And some people think that means we should have a welfare state, and I just utterly reject that. I mean, that's just degrading and demeaning. And to pull it off, of course, you have to steal from the people to get the money to give to, you know, some poor person. You know, there's a couple of things that we could do that would change everything and let people get out from under, you know, the problems. You know, first of all, you know, this capitalism that we have, so-called capitalism, of course, isn't, you know, it certainly isn't what you'd call a free market. It's a crony capitalism. If you have enough money to lobby, you know, Congress and that, you can get favors and tax breaks and whatever, all the different benefits and protections and monopolies that you can get, those should all be just taken away. And this would certainly take power away from the most influential and the rich. And that's on one end. If government just leveled the playing field there, it would really help people at bottom.
We'll be back with more with Randy England after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah! This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza, not your grandpa's talk radio. And if you like what you're hearing, you can go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, echo, November, Sierra.com. And you should click on the little link that says Torrent Club up at the top and maybe do some torrenting of us and seed our torrents, because they are cracking down on free speech, and pretty soon they're going to take everyone cool off the radio, and then they'll take us off the internet, and then they'll probably, I don't know if they'll throw us in Gitmo or not, or the FEMA camps, or if they'll just grind us into a tasty paste to feed to people in the welfare line. I'm not really sure what they'll do. So there will probably be a time when our feisty talk radio musical extravaganza is not available to you. So you should go get it and seed it and torrent it. We have instructions on there how to do that to keep us drone proof. We're talking to Randy England, former prosecutor, current attorney, author. He wrote the book, Free is Beautiful, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. His website is freeisbeautiful.net and randyengland.com. And we were talking about illegal haircutting and why it's good, why you shouldn't need a license to get haircuts. And, you know, my dad always used to say, it's too bad that everyone who really knows how to run the country is busy driving taxi cabs and cutting hair. But that's kind of presuming that a country actually needs running, or that there should actually be a country, or that you need leaders to tell you what to do. And, you know, the theory with democracy, with a republic like we have, is that people are too stupid to rule themselves, but apparently they're not too stupid to vote in the people to rule them, which just doesn't make sense to me. So what I want to know, Randy, is I was listening to talk radio last night. I was listening to a bunch of different talk radio shows, and they had all these different opinions and different ideas. And what I realized about talk radio is, to be on talk radio, all they have in common is everyone on talk radio thinks they have the answer, and if everyone in the world did what they do, the world would be a better place. That's the kind of like ego and just hubris it takes to be on talk radio. And I have that, although my idea and your idea isn't that we should tell people what to do. It's that everybody should be left alone. So you're on talk radio right now. Tell people what they should do to make the world a better place.
Well, yeah, you already took it all away. They should leave people alone. But before we're on the break, you know, one thing that we could do that would really help so many people and make the world a lot better is, first of all, stop giving out the favors, you know, for the people that can afford it, the people that can, you know, grease the politicians' palms and make sure the field is level on the high end. But on the low end is where it's really important, and this is where the occupational licensing comes in. People could take care of themselves and wouldn't need the government benefits of that if they were allowed to. But you know, you talked about people are not allowed to have the babysitting business in their own home, or it's very limited, or you have to have a license in that. That applies to so many home-based businesses.
I mean,
Steve Jobs and Wozniak had been in Chicago when they tried to start Apple, you know, in their garage, we probably would never have seen Apple today. And there's many, many other stories just like that.
Here's a really interesting example of like freedom and tyranny at the same time. In Casper, Wyoming, You can have a yard sale. You can sell guns at a yard sale. Literally, like you can sell guns at a yard sale. You could sell an AK-47 with a 30-round mag, semi-auto, at your yard sale. You could sell 5,000 rounds of ammunition at your yard sale. Like stuff that literally, if you tried to do it in California or New York, a SWAT team would come and prone you out with a gun to your head. You can do that in Wyoming, which is seems like freedom to me. It seems pretty cool. But you can't have a yard sale here without paying a $5 permit to the city. Like what? Who is that protecting to have a $5 permit to have a yard sale? What is that protecting?
It's not protecting anything. It's your property, man. It's giving money.
Yeah, yeah.
Collect a little money, and then they have to pay somebody who's collecting it. So I guess, I don't know, it does something there. You know, the same thing goes to things like gypsy cabs. I mean, why should you pay $1 million to be able to drive a cab in New York City? I mean, anybody should be able to. Yeah. I love some of these new smartphone applications that allow you to, you know, call a criminal cab driver to come and pick you up. That's so great, you know.
So street. there's a thing. You ever watch that show Breaking Bad?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's a thing early on in there where they, and you're nothing like the attorney Saul Goodman in there, but he's pretty funny. But it's like,
oh well, thank you so much.
But when they go to hire an attorney, they're like, we don't need a criminal attorney. We need a criminal attorney. Yes, and you're not a criminal attorney. You are a criminal attorney. You do criminal cases, but you're also, and you're law abiding, but you also are basically saying that the law needs to be entirely just ripped up by the roots and redone, right? What would you see, and how could that happen to make things better and more equitable? And you're not talking, when you say a more even playing field, you're not a communist. You hate communism, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're talking about not getting rid of capitalism, but getting rid of what they call crapitalism, which is basically where the richest of the rich, you know, there are multinational corporations where their CEOs go back and forth between government agencies that regulate those kind of industries and the industries. Like they go from one to the other, historically in America over and over and over to where, you know, one company will have almost a monopoly to where they'll do things like go in and kill farmers' pigs because they're whole wheat, free range, natural, yummy family farm pigs are competing with the big pig industry in that state. Things like that. Or, you know, where they'll copyright certain seeds or patent certain seeds, and if they float from one farm to another and propagate, basically they'll come in and prosecute nature, you know, and they have their people on their boards in the federal government to do that. That's not fair, and that's not the free market. And a lot of times when people criticize the free market and say we need more regulation, the regulations are written by the big players. You know, that's not really the free market. That's not capitalism. That's crapitalism. So
they really are by the big players. And it's always the players in that particular field that come in and ask for the regulations. I mean, when it came to organizing the doctors, it was the doctors that came in. It was a particular group of the doctors, the dominant group that came in and basically wanted the fringe groups and the other ones that were not in their camp shut out. And the same thing happened with the lawyers. You know, back in the 19th century, I mean, courts were always allowed to say who could practice in front of them if you weren't a party. In other words, who could be a lawyer in that court. But that's almost like, yeah, I'm only going to talk to the people I want to. I mean, that's not a big deal that the courts could always say you can come in and you can't, you know, you have to follow certain rules or you can't be here. But a guy like, say, Abraham Lincoln, who I'm no fan of exactly, but a guy like Abraham Lincoln, he could study and apprentice with another attorney. And when he learned enough, the experienced attorney would take him into the court and say, Judge, this is Abe Lincoln. He's a fine young man, and he's been here, and I'd like to introduce him to the court and have him accepted, you know, to practice here. And the judge would nod and smile and say, you're in. And that was the way it was done. And then later on, at the end of the 19th century, the New York City Bar Association, I think they were the first ones to start up, they came in and said, hey, we need to kind of get a handle on this. And they convinced the courts to force anybody to be a member of their bar association before they could appear in the court. And then they got them to make people go to their law schools before they could be a member of it. And then they said, well, judge, you know, I know you're controlling who can appear before you, and I'm really glad that they have to be a member of our club before they can come in and appear in court. But, you know, there's guys working out at real estate firms and insurance companies and big companies that are practicing law inside those companies. They're experts on that law, but they don't belong to our club, and we want you to order them that they can't even do what they're expert at unless they join our club and become a lawyer and belong to our bar association. And so they just ate more and more and more and turned all these people that were actually legal experts in small areas, turning them all into criminals if they didn't join the club. And then, of course, they control the entrance requirements. They control who gets to be an attorney. And the whole thing is just a stinking racket, which has the effect of limiting the availability of legal help when people need it, and raises the prices and makes it less available. And it's just crooked. And the doctors do it, and the barbers do it. And 30% of the whole American workforce is now involved in this thing, and it's only getting worse.
Yeah. And then there was Lysander Spooner. Are you a fan of him? He was an unlicensed attorney who actually tried to start a competing post office, and actually did a great job, and the U.S. government put him out of business in the late 1800s.
Yeah, he caused them a lot of trouble, and he's called the father of the 3-cent stamp because he forced the U.S. Postal Service to cut their rates down very low back then.
You know what I read today that I didn't know is that the reason there are no common denominations in the U.S. above $100 is Nixon outlawed that because he thought that it would increase the drug trade.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. So why should drugs not be illegal?
Well, because when you take a drug or sell a drug, it's totally consensual. You're not hurting anyone except maybe yourself. And the only things that should be criminal, subject to the criminal law, where, you know, that we're going to come in and punish you and hurt you if you do something, is when you actually harm another person or their property. As you said earlier, you know, theft or fraud or assault or murder and those sorts of things. That's where you have a victim. And this is a big change that needs to happen in our criminal justice system, and would automatically move in this right direction if we started caring about the victim in the criminal justice system. And sorry for me steering it this way, but I really don't know much.
Yeah, there's no remuneration. It's like they throw you in a cage and charge the taxpayer for it rather than getting any kind of like amends to the victim.
You know, I mean, it's kind of surprising. You know, prosecutors, and I know these guys because I was there, you know, for a long time. I did it for 14 years. They find victims in cases to be pretty much an annoyance. I mean, victims always, they want to say something, you know, to do with the case or whether it should be filed, things like that. They want to say so. Prosecutors don't much care for that.
We'll be back with more with Randy England from RandyEngland.com on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
All right. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. This is not your grandpa's talk radio. And today we're talking to Randy England from randyengland.com, an attorney and former prosecutor. Randy, why should the law help the victim rather than just punish the criminal?
Back in the old days, the law only punished the criminal, and nobody pretended that every crime was a crime against the state or the king, I guess, as it was. But what we really should be moving back to is a restitution victim-based criminal justice system. The system now, there is restitution, and judges often order restitution to be paid, but the restitution doesn't, never fully compensates a victim. I mean, if somebody got shot and got robbed, their wallet and ended up in the hospital for a week, he's going to have a lot of, physical pain. He's going to have, mental suffering from that. He may not work for months. Just depends, And if the robber gets caught and the robber gets charged, the victim, of course, will have to testify repeatedly in court and spend more time and lose more wages, helping to prosecute the case. And when and if the robber is convicted, I mean, he's probably going to go to prison, and the victim, who's instead of getting any restitution or compensation, he's probably going to pay more money because he's a taxpayer to help keep this guy in jail. And of course, if there is a fine in a case, it doesn't go to the victim. Of course, it goes to the state. Can you imagine if you came down from Mars here and saw our criminal justice system and watched a court proceeding where somebody had to pay a fine and you elbowed the guy next to you and says, well, does the victim get that money? And they would say, well, no, the state gets the money. The state is the victim in every case. The victim is not the victim. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the robber, if he would somehow get probation, in a case like that, it may include like the money stolen and the hospital bills, but probably it's not going to be any money for lost wages and that sort of thing. That's possible, but it usually doesn't happen. And even when, some partial restitution is ordered by the court, it almost never, ever gets paid. The judgment of the court is not enforceable. You can't take that judgment and execute on it the way you could with a civil judgment that a court has. And in a libertarian justice system, you would take restitution seriously. I mean, the most important thing to happen would be to make the victim whole. And that would constitute, in most cases, the majority of the punishment, because the victim, not only includes the person who got hurt, but you would make the criminals finance the entire criminal justice system. There would be no taxpayers to do that. It would be the criminal. And you would make him pay for not only the damage that he did, but the cost of catching him, the cost of prosecuting him, the cost of locking him up if that is necessary. And every cost should be on the criminal. And every victim should be completely compensated.
What do you think about
the trend?
I'd really
like to see a system like that. And then when somebody finishes in a criminal case, a criminal gets done, the criminal gets out, and they say he's paid his debt to society, they'd actually mean it. I'd like to yeah. see that happen.
Yeah, because going, you know, what's interesting to me is how conservatives are against.
So, Michael,
welfare.
What do you think?
So, conservatives are against welfare, as well they should be, but they love to send potheads to jail and give them more than welfare. They give them a bed, they give them three hots and a cots, they give them. Free medical care for like a year, you know, or years. And they're willing to do that to punish somebody for something that's not even a crime. How do you feel about that? Yeah. Are you there, Randy? We're talking with Randy England, prosecutor Randy England, about philosophical topics, including the value of jury nullifications, the dangers of never take a plea, the pitfalls of representing yourself, why even landlords won't do that, why even lawyers won't do that if they're smart, the lunacy of sovereign citizen magic words, this is stuff we're going to get into in the second hour, the absolute lunacy of the war on drugs, thoughts on shoot or don't shoot if someone kicks in your door and yells police in the middle of the night, why he didn't push no-knock drug warrants as a prosecutor. We'll be back for hour two with Randy England on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza with Randy England, prosecutor, former prosecutor Randy England from randyengland.com, filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati, who's out on paternity leave. Thank you. We'll be back after this. Worms.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And today, filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati, who's out on paternity leave. He's taking a few Sundays off to spend some time with Lily June Vedati, his new daughter, who's about 3 weeks old today, I think, or yesterday. We have Mr. Randy England, former prosecutor, current attorney, author of Free is Beautiful, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. You can check him out at randyengland.com and freeisbeautiful.net. So, Randy, why should Catholics be libertarian? Go into that a little bit more. We touched on it in the beginning. And before I throw that to you, I want to give out the call-in number for anybody who is listening live. We're on some stations live and some stations delayed. If it's right now about 1:07 p.m. Central Time, you could call in with your questions at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Now, Randy, why should Christians be libertarian?
Hi, Michael. Hi, I think this has so much to do with, you know, the concept of free will, which people, not necessarily religious people, don't, you know, believe that. But Christians certainly do believe that they have free will. And it's a very important concept, in Catholic theology and all Christians, actually. But, you know, in the beginning, as the whole story of the Garden of Eden. Everybody knows this story, has heard of it. You know, man was created with free will, and you have Adam and Eve back there, and they're free to do whatever they want, except they have this one rule. God gives them this rule, don't eat that fruit, you know, don't eat the apple of this one tree there in the garden. And then, you know, God kind of just walks away and leaves them free to either obey or disobey. And, you know, he warned them, he said, you eat that fruit of that tree and it's going to kill you, you're going to die. And, but he let them do it. He could not prevent them from making their own choices and allow them to have free will at the same time. There are certain things that God can't do. You know, he can't make a round triangle. He can't do things that are absurd, and he can't compel people if at the same time he wants them to be free. But we listen to this story about, you know, how God treated Adam and Eve. So many times, you know, you don't stop to think about what God is really odd from a human point of view. I mean, when we don't want something to happen, something bad is going to happen, and we've got the power to stop it, we just come flying in and we stop it. I mean, whatever it takes, if it's in our power to stop something we don't want to happen, we stop it. I mean, and if we can't stop someone from doing something, then we declare what they're doing is a crime, and we're going to punish them after they do it. And so from our point of view, you know, you'd say, well, God's reaction to evil is really bizarre and different. I mean, who has more power than God? He has absolute power to stop any evil from happening at all. He could have stopped evil at any stage. He never needed to have even made men to begin with. And if he wanted, he could have made us, you know, like robots or something, so that we never did anything that was wrong, either from wrong from what he wanted us to do or wrong in the sense that it might hurt us. He could have made us act just perfectly, like I said, like robots. But when he made us, he said it was instead, he gave us freedom to do good or to do evil, and gave them the dominion over the whole earth. And then even though they had the right to do, not the right, that's the wrong word, the freedom to do evil, he said, and it was good. And you know, how could it be good if there could be bad? And that's, of course, a question people have been asking, you know, ever since. But he doesn't punish you. He doesn't stop it from happening. He doesn't punish evil instantly when it occurs. You know, many bad things we do or wrongful things we do, you know, have bad consequences, natural consequences in this life. But most of us, we just live out our whole lives to the end, and we don't have to give any account for anything we've done the whole time we're here, you know, except maybe to other men. And this is just because from a Christian standpoint, free will is so important that it's given to every man and not just the, you know, the first parents. And the reason God permits that freedom is that it's necessary. You have to have free will to make good men. Only free men can become good men. And to have anything like true virtue requires liberty. And so when men come in and say, you know, God may not stop you, but I sure will, is really getting in and gumming up the mix. And that's why we should refrain from using violence against our fellow man, unless, you know, he's actually doing it to you first. You know, I don't have any problem with self-defense or responding to aggression against someone else, but to initiate violence is just wrong. And Christians also, you know, have a maxim, you know, that's saying you never ever do evil that good may result from it. And yet the government, you know, which claims a monopoly to use aggressive violence, does that all the time. I mean, they come and they threaten you with jail, put a gun to your head and take your money. They call it taxes. And they say, but we're going to do good with it. We're going to give this to this guy over here who needs it. You know, he's hungry. We're going to buy him food. So we're going to do evil to you so good may result. That's condemned as a Christian proposition. And free will is just so important. I wish we would, you know, all sort of mind our own business. That's how I feel about, you know, free will. And I think libertarianism is essentially Christian. And that's such an important concept that we just violate it all the time.
Yeah, I think that when people elect leaders to point guns at people to do social justice at the point of a gun with taxes, I think they're literally kicking God off the throne. Would you agree?
Well, yes, certainly substituting their will for his. And I think that it's just wrong. I mean, there are many reasons why we should back off on prosecuting what we would call vices or victimless crimes. I mean, things like gambling and drunkenness and prostitution and using drugs, controlled substances, which are really like alcohol too. I mean, they're all mind affecting drugs that can mess up your life. Those things should be left in the sphere of you can do them if you want, but you're going to wreck yourself. And if they cause you to do things that hurt other people, then you're going to be stopped and punished for that. But in and of themselves, you have to leave it alone. And it's reached a point now where there's so many laws against so many things that don't actually hurt other people. Every man has been turned into a criminal. I mean, it's just impossible. My criminal law blog, I love to put up laws on there, that particularly laws that I've broken. You know, when I find out that I've broken a new law, I often will post it up there about I was going through the Missouri statutes and found that it's a crime to allow a certain kind of thistle to grow on your property. I'm looking at this stupid thing and I go, I've seen that out there. You know, I'm a criminal. So I wrote a blog post about it.
I agree that bad laws don't need to be obeyed. But how do you wrap that around Romans 13, 1 through 7 about obeying the government, for God is the one who put it there?
Romans 13. Well, let's see now. Let me remind me.
Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. It's kind of a stickler with people who do civil disobedience.
Yeah, well, and you know, and that's St. Paul writing, and he at another place he writes, you know, to remind people to be submissive, you know, to the rulers and that. First of all, you know, there's a lot of Christian commentators I've read that don't even agree that is subject to the government, the state. I mean, when there are authorities, you know, every Christian believes that they voluntarily submit to God. And as a Catholic, I mean, we have a hierarchy in the church and follow what the church teaches. So actually, there's some humans in that chain also, and we submit to what they say voluntarily. And I have no problem, you know, with anyone who wants to, you know, do what their boss tells them to do, as long as it's a voluntary thing. But you know, it seems to me that there's a whole lot more, you know, to the story than just submit to the authorities, even if they're talking about the state. I mean, if in the book of Acts, you have the apostles are defying the state over and over. And they
Jesus
say,
we defied the state by turning over the money changers' tables.
Jesus died, you know,
defying the state.
And he was accused of that. I mean, people say where Jesus said, go get me the coin that the taxes paid with, and they brought him one, and it had a picture of Caesar on it. And he said, whose image is that? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, well, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. I mean, you know, it was an interesting rhetorical exercise that he did. But the whole thing of that is they were trying to trap him. And he was given an answer for the authorities there that they thought that he meant that you should pay the tax. Of course, he didn't mean that. If he'd have meant that, and the Jewish people thought that he meant that, well, they wouldn't have listened to him at all, because they hated the Romans' guts. And every Jew that heard him say that knew that, yeah, the Romans don't, you know, that's not theirs, you know, they don't own it, and he's not saying that they should pay their taxes. And you can tell what they knew, because later on when they took Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate and were accusing him, one of the accusations against him was that he was teaching people not to pay the tax. And they had to explain that to the Romans to understand what Jesus had said. And so there's, you know, so many things in there that they're in the New Testament that people use to say that, you know, use to say that you should just submit yourself to the government. But it really isn't that way. And that's a very superficial way of viewing many of those verses.
Excellent answer. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Randy England from RandyEngland.com after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
And this is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And you got your Signs of Evil Countdown. And here's number 7 on our Signs of Evil Countdown. No, actually, we're talking to Randy England about why Christianity should be considered a libertarian thing rather than a we need to pass more laws to outlaw the sin. Why is that true, Randy England?
Well, we don't need to pass more laws to outlaw the sin. But, you know, we were talking about how, you know, Christians use a lot of, you know, scriptures and that to justify making every vice a crime and giving all power to the state. You have to do everything they say. But, you know, I think some people don't realize how much humor there is, like, in the Bible. I mean, St. Paul is always, he always gets a bad rap of being, you know, just a real stern guy and didn't like women and things like that. The guy had such a wicked sense of humor. I think he actually got himself killed early because of what he did. But the ridicule and the contempt for the state is in there, and it's in there in a number of places, but you have to read between the lines a little bit. Like, one thing, I don't know if a lot of people don't know that the Emperor Nero, I mean, they've heard that he was a bad guy and all that, but in 66 AD, Nero, he left Rome. He went to Greece to compete in the Olympic Games. He also thought he was a great guitar player and was on a concert tour of Greece, but at Olympia, he entered the 4-horse chariot race, only, of course, he had 10 horses on his chariot. He was the emperor. And he kept getting thrown out of his chariot during the race, and he had to be picked up and put back at the reins of the thing. And in the end, he couldn't even stay in his seat. He finally gave up the race before it was over. But since he was the emperor and could have everybody killed, the judges crowned him the winner of that Olympic game. And, of course, he gave him prizes and stuff, too, and gave the judges money for declaring him the winner. And this really was humiliating. The guy was just a buffoon. And this would have been really fresh news, you know, when he returned back to Rome. And it was only a short time after this that he had the Apostle Paul beheaded. And listen to something that Paul wrote right before he was beheaded, but after the emperor came back to Rome. He wrote to his young friend Timothy, he said, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, for the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Now, here's Nero, who did not finish the race, did not compete according to the rules, was crowned anyway, even though he did it wrong. I mean, this thing was just a knife in the emperor's back. And you know, anyone who lived around that time and had heard these stories about this nutcase emperor would have known that this was just a joke on the emperor. And yet, St. Paul writes it there in his epistle. I mean, I just love that. It shows that he had contempt for the emperor and for the state. And there are other places that talk about that sort of thing, too. So, you know, I say, you know, to some people that are too hooked in to, you know, obey the government because the church tells you so, take a pill, because it really isn't that way. Or there are so many places. One guy I really liked that was super contemptuous of government, and he was a Catholic, was J.R.R. Tolkien. And Tolkien was the one who wrote that, you know, not...
The Hobbit.
One man. Well, yeah, he wrote The Hobbit. I loved it. In the Shire, the only government official in the Shire, other than the sheriff that protected the boundaries, was the mayor, whose only duty was to preside at banquets. I mean, you know, that's the kind of a mayor, you know, that that I like. Tolkien, he said that not one man in a million is fit to rule over other men. And he said, and of those one in a million, anyone who wants the job is also not qualified. I mean, there's this beautiful skepticism about why men, you know, should be placed over other men and why they should bother anybody else at all, except to keep people in line, you know, that are actually hurting other people. I mean, that's the one, you know, exception. You can always defend yourself. And I dedicated, you know, probably the first half of my book, you know, to why Catholics, and not just Catholics, I mean, Christians in general, you know, should take another look at libertarianism and see that Catholicism and Christianity are essentially libertarian, and free will is so important.
Excellent. We'll be back with more with Randy England from randyengland.com after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Hour, double hour every Saturday and Sunday. And today we're talking to Mr. Randy England. He's a former prosecutor and a current attorney and an author. He's the author of the book Free is Beautiful, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. You can go to freeisbeautiful.net or you can go to randyengland.com to read more about Randy England. So, Randy, a lot of people view religion as antithetical to freedom. Why do you think the opposite is true? And what would you like to see different about, for instance, if people, you know, I mean, you're basically saying that people shouldn't outlaw things that don't have a victim. Like, for instance, let's say a strip club. You don't think that that should be illegal for adults to go to a strip club, do you?
Well, no, I don't think it should be illegal. And, you know, I would not, you know, I think that that's something I think most Christians everywhere say that's something you should stay away from. But, and if I had someone I was talking to, I mean, maybe I would try to persuade them why they shouldn't, but that's as far as it should ever go. There should not be, I wouldn't dream of locking somebody up if they were doing that. And if I wouldn't do that myself, I wouldn't go out and ask the sheriff to do that for me, or I wouldn't vote for a politician to do that for me. It doesn't make it right just because I hire somebody else, you know, to do my dirty work. I think something that many Christians, you know, are concerned with is that, you know, when Ron Paul was running for president, you know, people would point out that a lot of his supporters were kind of on the fringes of society. I mean, yeah, you got all these nuts out there who favor Ron Paul. Well, why do they favor Ron Paul? Well, of course they do. I mean, people that are, less normal, or however you want to put it, I mean, I would excuse them totally for being attracted to any political philosophy that lets them have their eccentricities, you know, as long as they don't harm anybody else. I mean, a live and let live philosophy will always have this special appeal for people, you know, who may not fit in. But it's a misconception to think that a libertarian society would force, you know, all of us normal people to put up with this distasteful behavior of the not normal people, you know, as they are living in ways that were formerly suppressed, you know, by the government. I mean, I understand that, but I think it's a misunderstanding. I mean, we would have freedom of association in any libertarian society. As a matter of fact, we would have a lot more freedom of association. We wouldn't have to associate with anyone we didn't want to. We wouldn't have to serve anyone at our business that we didn't want to. I mean, there would be a libertarian society would be more respectful of association rights, not less. And so, you know, if our vision of a libertarian society is one where, like, you know, drug addicts are lying in the street and tattooed couples are going at it on the sidewalk in some kind of freak show, you know, out of some dystopian apocalyptic movie, you know, that's not the point. The point is that a free society, we'd have more control over our lives, over our neighborhoods, and we'd be better able to live as we believe that we should. And when the government gets out of the social engineering business, you know, people will take responsibility for themselves. There is a way that to make it happen so that, you know, you don't have to have aggressive government, nor do you have to have, you know, an environment to raise your kids in that would be that you would not like. I mean, the key to this, you know, is private property. I mean, nothing would stop you and your neighbors, you know, from agreeing together that in this particular, you know, neighborhood or this housing development or this city, for all that matters, we will obey in these ways and these rules, and we all sign a contract that says we'll follow these rules or we won't live there. I mean, people would be free to do that. I mean, when you have the streets, if that's public property, well, then drug dealers and troublemakers and thieves and that, I mean, they have to be tolerated, you know, even if it drives the rest of the people out of the neighborhood. It's only if they break the law that, say, the police can ask them to leave. But if, say, a business district were fully owned by the merchants of the district, I mean, they would see to it that the place was well maintained and nothing was happening to harass their customers or drive them away, and there'd be parks and it would be safe and heck, it would be Disneyland. You know, I mean, if that, and people that find that distasteful, hey, don't go there. Go to the one, you know, on the other end of town, you know, that's all whatever you like. But, you know, private business districts would be that way. Neighborhoods would be that way. Schools would be that way. We would be a lot easier. It would be a lot easier to live in environments that we choose for ourselves and our families. It could happen in your neighborhoods. People who wanted to, you know, you said earlier, I think you said you don't like you hate communism too, don't you, Randy? Actually, I don't hate communism. I hate state aggression.
Yeah, I have no problem with some people who want to live communally in a closed area. I just don't want to be forced to participate in it. You know, there's a saying in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. It was a line I wrote and had a cowboy friend of mine pounding a fence post in and saying this line. I really liked the line. It was something like, I don't care what my neighbor does on the other side of this fence as long as I don't have to pay for it. And that really is how it should be. And that's kind of the old cowboy way of looking at things. And I kind of like that. You know, San Francisco, I used to live there, and it has a worldwide reputation as one of the most permissive places in the world. And it is a place where you can probably see a tattooed couple going at it in a doorway. But it's also become so progressive to the point of that it's kind of like Mother Teresa with a rifle to your head, to the point where I'm calling it Ban Francisco. I mean, they recently outlawed playing chess on the sidewalk or in public parks, which was really one of the kind of neat little the little flavors of that city was people had intellectual pursuits that didn't hurt anybody, playing chess out in the street, you know, on the sidewalk, on the wide sidewalks out of the way of anybody. And San Francisco recently outlawed having anything in your garage other than your car. And I don't even know how that's enforceable without having police walking around peering into your private property for the couple seconds a day you have your door open, or, you know, being able to come in without a warrant and search. But you said that that would have prevented things like Apple computers from starting. It would stop progress from being able to do anything in your garage other than put a car there.
Could I have a lawnmower?
No, you can't have anything other than your car in your garage in San Francisco now. So, you know, the overly permissive, what people would consider overly permissive actually end up being the least permissive places. It's really hard to own a gun for self-defense in San Francisco, and you certainly can't get a concealed carry permit. You can't have one outside your house. So what do you think is the solution for people in a libertarian society, in this this libertarian paradise that we're talking about? What would be the solution to allow people to raise their kids without being exposed to things that they don't want to, without passing laws against them?
Well, you know, you say passing laws, like if you you started a town you want. You know, there was a town in a guy who owned a Domino's Pizza. His name was Monahan, and he started up a city that was supposed to be a Catholic city in Florida. I think it's called Ave Maria, Florida, or something like that. I if that's not the right name, I'm not positive. But he had this idea of a Catholic city, you know, where the public morals there would reflect Catholic moral teaching. And once he did, he got the thing going, he ran into a lot of problems, like some of the moral prohibitions that they wanted. Well, people filed lawsuits and found out that he couldn't do that. He could not have a city that didn't allow, well, say, wanted, you know, close all the businesses on Sunday. Now, if I want to close on Sunday, you know, I ought to be able to close on Sunday. I ought to be able to agree with all my neighbors that we'll all close on Sunday if that's agreeable to them. Well, in a libertarian society, he could have done that. I mean, he could have had a city. Every resident and visitor in the city would have to abide by whatever the covenants were that everybody who lived there agreed to, and that would apply to everybody everywhere. And in that society, you know, guests might be hard-pressed to buy things like recreational drugs or pornography or contraceptives in a Catholic town, or abortion pills. And like I said, on a Sunday, nothing would be for sale. And you could search, you know, through the Yellow Pages all day long and never find a gentleman's club or something like that, or an abortion clinic or an escort service. Maybe drunkenness or public lewdness or taking the Lord's name in vain would result in getting kicked out of the town or a fine or something. I mean, you could do that if you wanted in your town or your neighborhood. And other people could have their own towns, and it would, you know, you'd post the rules, I guess, out in the street and say, you're welcome in here, but every square inch of this town is private property. And we'd love to have you come in, but you have to abide by these rules. And the whole place would be this way, and you would have to respect the rules in my neighborhood the same way you have to respect the rules in my house. And that way people would be able, now, I don't necessarily say I'd like to live in that town. I particularly would prefer to rule myself and don't care so much what my neighbors are doing. But I also, you know, there's certain things I don't want either. So I guess I would like to have some rules, but certainly not a lot.
The ironic thing is that there are a lot of laws still on the book in small towns, especially in the South, of blue laws where you can't do certain things on Sundays. I think every law firm I've ever been into, and I've been in a lot of them because I've done a lot of dealings in the music business, and I've done a lot of dealings even when I was a bike messenger, just going into law offices delivering things. I think every law firm I've ever been in the lobby of, they have a book of weird laws. Do you have that book in your law firm?
No, in the lobby. I read it though.
Yeah,
something to pass the time.
Yes. Yeah, you know that in Beast Lick, Missouri, you can't wear a yellow hat on Sunday, and these laws are still on the books. You know, the blue laws from Sundays. So it's weird that like they still have a lot of those laws on the book from antiquity. They're usually not enforced. They might if they don't like somebody, but then there are federal laws that prevent those laws from existing in places where people get together and want to have those laws. That's the problem with one size fits all laws, and that's the problem with lawmakers. They have to make laws or they're not doing their job, and that just leads to everyone being a criminal. We'll be back with more with Randy England on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And filling in for Mr. Nima Vadavi, we have Randy England from randyengland.com and freeisbeautiful.net. .net, no, yeah, .net, right? .net, Randy?
Right, .net.
Yeah.
So, or .com.
So, counselor, what are your closing arguments here?
My closing arguments. Well, you know, we talked about free will, and that is so important. But I guess, you know, the topic of my book, you know, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian, and the same arguments apply to any person who considers themselves a Christian, that Christianity, Catholic Christianity included, is essentially libertarian. And that is my premise, you know, in the book, and that only through our free will, you know, can we become good men, you know, capable of the goal of a Christian life, which is to share in the divine life one day, you know, after this life is ended. And, you know, centuries ago, it was St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine who recognized that it was futile and it was evil to try to force people, you know, to be virtuous. They taught that the government, you know, should limit itself to keeping the peace and protecting people's property and their lives. And, you know, you have the golden rule. Everyone not only knows that, but I had never met anyone who didn't agree with it. And we shouldn't do to another person what we would not be done to ourselves. Of course, that's the corollary to it. I think they call it the silver rule, but it's included in the golden rule. I mean, we don't cheat, we don't steal, we don't hit, we keep our hands to ourselves, we don't harm other people. I mean, it's just mind your own business. Libertarians call this, they call this the non-aggression principle, that nobody or no group even may initiate force against another person. When I say initiate force, I mean do something to someone who's not bothering you. And the modern state, they don't have any such limits as that. They don't believe in that. They initiate aggression whenever anyone's doing anything they don't like, whether they're hurting anybody else or not. And they make everybody's business their business. And no matter which party's in power, it doesn't make any difference, or Republicans or Democrats, they all want exactly the same thing. They want to take their agenda and enact it by force. You know, I'd ask anyone who is a Christian to look in this. I mean, I ask anyone, but from my arguments and my standpoint, to consider libertarianism and what it means within that faith context. It's really the most just system, you know, in a fallen world, which we have. And it's the only political philosophy that takes human dignity and free will and actually treats it seriously, that admits that it's important for people to be free to do right or to do wrong. And that is how you make good people. You just don't stand behind them with a whip and make sure that they're good all the time. They have to learn to do it when nobody's looking, I guess. You know, I like to say that, you know, although liberty, I believe that liberty will do good things. It will help us be more prosperous. We'll have a better world, a kinder world, more generous world. There'll be less poor and less inequality, and things that are very important to me, even if I wouldn't use violence to make them come about. But liberty, even if it didn't feed people, you know, even by itself would not be enough to say get them into heaven when this life is ended. But it does give you the freedom to pursue both of those goals. And I ask anyone to take a look at it, and not just, you know, my book. There's so much good material written from a Christian standpoint. And my book, I will mention, the audiobook is completely free at the website. And if you go to that, you can hear the whole book beginning to end. And the book itself is inexpensive, electronic versions and the paperback of the book.
Excellent. And what are your websites, Randy?
Well, it's freeisbeautiful.net is the book about the is about the book, and my blog for criminal law is randyengland.com.
Thank you very much, Randy England, for
Thank
coming
you,
on the Freedom Fiends. It's been an honor. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza, the end of hour two. We'll be back Wednesday for our non-radio podcast at freedomfiends.com, and we'll be back every Saturday and Sunday on your good local radio stations. Thank you for listening.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.